and let them introduce themselves. It's a little deeper dive for Emily since she's brand new, or back to the saddle, I should say. We're going to start only for the ease, because they're sitting in this order, with Rose Olson. Rose, introduce yourself to the listeners.
Yeah, hi, Phil. I'm Rose Olson. I'm the Deputy Executive Director for the Friends of Scotchman Peaks Wilderness. And this means I basically do a little bit of everything for the organization. We're a pretty small team over here. And I also am on the board for the Nordic Club, and I coach youth mountain biking programs for POP. So I'm kind of everywhere, just an outdoors kind of gal. And I grew up in the area, but my husband and I have been in Sandpoint since 2016. And I don't think we're going anywhere anytime soon.
Thank you, Rose. Emily, take us into a little deeper dive. As I mentioned at the outset, you've been in the area a long time, and then we're away, and now you're back, and you're in a new role here for you with the Pondere Peddlers. So tell us a little bit more about your background and what took you away, what brought you back?
Yeah, good questions. Yeah, thank you. Thanks for having me today, and a happy National Public Lands Day to everybody. So my name is Emily Strizich. We just got back to Sandpoint about a month and a half ago. We were in Vermont for 3 years, where my husband was completing his residency program in primary care. So he will be over at BGH soon, but right now is at home with our two-month-old named Estelle doing paternity leave. So that's been delightful, which has given me the opportunity to dive into this role as the executive director with the Pondere Peddlers. In my history, I've done a lot of community organizing. I've done a lot of nonprofit work, worked in the outdoor recreation world. Actually trained as an occupational therapist, which really is about like removing the barriers from people's individual lives to allow them to live in their fullest potential. So I kind of look at the ED role with POP as kind of being that, but at like a systems level. But it also gives me the opportunity to kind of talk about like why getting kids with a history of trauma into adrenaline sports would be helpful for their recovery and stuff like that. So I'm excited. With a two-month-old, wasn't necessarily looking for work at the time, but this job popped up and it seemed like the perfect marriage of, you know, something that I am personally super passionate about and like marrying that with the skills that I have. So I'm really excited about the role, just a little more sleepless than I would.
What's it like? We often ask guests their first impressions of Sandpoint, the Longbridge moment. How did they know they had arrived when they arrived? And I'm going to ask you to tell us about your twice Longbridge moment.
Oh, man. Well, actually, we drove in from the Clark Fork side. But when I go across that bridge over at Hope, first of all, I'm always like, well, how many sheriffs are parked down there at the boat launch in Hope?
That's the second time around.
Yeah, exactly. No, it just is so magical coming back. You know, my husband and I, I describe us as golden retrievers, that we could be happy a lot of places, and we are. And then we come back here, and between the community of people we're surrounded by and just the beauty of this place, like it really is second to none. And then you take those little things into account where it's like, oh my gosh, our mosquitoes, they're really not that bad. Or like our tick population, not that bad. Maybe this is having been in Vermont for a few years, but I'm like, yeah. You guys, we don't have poison ivy. Can you believe that? So I feel like the more I spread my wings in the world, the more I come back here to appreciate it with a deeper sense. And I have had the privilege of mountain biking in a lot of places, and I can't even tell you how wonderful the trails are here. Whether I'm trail running or riding or anything, I just am blown away by the access we have, the views, the smell of the dirt, just all of it. It's like, it's so mind-blowing.
That's going to be a great segue into the main topic of the show, Public Lands Day, in a few moments. But Marcy, introduce yourself.
Well, after Emily, I don't know. So I'm Marcy Timlin, and I'm with Conixie Land Trust. I've been there for about 3 years. And I've lived in Sandpoint pretty much most of my whole life. And again, I never tire of it. It's an incredible place to be. And just really grateful to be here with you all this morning.
Thank you. And Julie probably needs no introduction for our listeners, but Julie, in the role you're in today, tell us a little bit more about yourself.
Yes, Phil. And I will just mention for listeners who maybe haven't heard me before, normally I would be in Phil's seat. And today I feel like I'm in the hot seat. It's giving me a lot more empathy for guests when they come in looking a little nervous. And I say, it's just a conversation. Relax. Yes. Well, I'm feeling a little jittery, Phil.
You're on the hot seat, literally.
Maybe it's the coffee.
Yeah, the hard mic.
Yes. Well, anyway, I am sitting in today for Tom Dabrowski. That's a name that most folks with Idaho Trails Association know. He couldn't make it, so I'm standing in for Tom, and I'll try to do as good a job as that guy would do, but who knows? Anyway, my background is that I retired and moved here about 10 years ago from Minnesota, and I will say, Liz, I felt the very same things. Where are the mosquitoes? Where are the this and that? But I've been here and enjoyed all things outdoors, including Idaho Trails Association, and with many hats in that organization, and just love it. So happy to be here to talk about public lands day.
Thank you, Julie. For those listeners who we've been bantering this around, public lands day, National Public Lands Day, is the fourth Saturday in September this year. That falls on the 28th. It's kind of the bookend to National Trails Day, which is always the first Saturday in June. Long ago, the American Hiking Association laid claim to and started promoting National Trails Day. And I think somewhat in response, the National Environmental Education Association laid claim to Public Lands Day, the fourth Saturday. It's not always the last, but the fourth Saturday of September. It's been going on since 1994. Virtually every federal agency that manages public lands has adopted it and does some special things. If you're listening, and don't do this because we want you to stay locally, but most of them offer free admission to the national parks. It's really a day to promote volunteerism, both enjoyment and also giving back to our public lands, because we want volunteers. They put the public in public lands, quite literally. And so with us today are four local organizations who spend a lot of time both celebrating and promoting the responsible use of and helping to maintain with volunteers access to some of our very special public lands. So we're going to dive into what everyone's doing, both in terms of Public Lands Day, but more generally to what they're doing right now this fall to get people outside, to get them excited, to get them engaged. And so I think just so listeners are accustomed to hearing the voices, we'll start back again with Rose. Tell us a little bit about the mission of the Friends of Scotchman Peaks, the vision, what FSPW generally does with public lands, and then we'll launch into some specific projects after that.
Yeah, sure. So the Friends of Scotchman Peaks Wilderness, we're a nonprofit that was formed in 2005 by a group of folks from Idaho and Montana who were advocating for the Scotchman Peaks area to become a designated wilderness, and that's capital W wilderness. These days, we are still working towards that legislation, and we're really active within the Panhandle Forest Collaborative here in Idaho, as well as the Kootenai Forest Stakeholders Coalition over in Montana. In addition to that, we also have tons of programming to get people outside, both through free guided hikes all summer and actually all winter long. I'm partial to our winter hikes, actually, because the trails are much less traveled and more intimidating, and so it can be nicer to go with a group of people in the winter. And also in the winter, we have a really cool youth education program called Winter Tracks. We maintain nearly all the trails in the Scotchman's area with volunteer crews all summer long. I think we usually do about 17 projects every summer that we partner with the Forest Service to work on. And another volunteer program we do to get people outside is we organize the Scotchman Peak Trail Ambassadors on weekends all summer long. And that's a program. It's really cool, a really cool volunteer opportunity. Folks can sign up and you hike the Scotchman Peak Trail with an official Trail Ambassador shirt. And the main goal being just to educate folks about don't let the goats lick you. Don't feed them your potato chips. They are wild animals, one of those public service announcements that is necessary.
Salt addicts.
Yes, they are. So we we're just all about getting folks out into the Scotchmans any way that they can. So it's pretty cool.
Excellent. Emily, tell us a little bit about POP. I know you're new to your role.
Yep.
But you're not new to the organization, are you?
No, I'm not. And, you know, mountain biking biking in general has been probably the longest committed relationship I've been in my life, although I am happily married for 10 years. But so POP is, you know, our overarching mission is building community through trails. So within that, we have four prongs, which is to maintain and protect existing bike trails and cycling routes. Like, we're not just exclusive to mountain biking. We want to make sure that roads have adequate shoulders or are safe biking routes around town for kids trying to get to school. So maintaining and protecting existing biking routes, expanding opportunities for all types of biking, advocating for the interests of cyclists and all stakeholders. So that really is taking into account like multi-use trails, equestrian access, hikers, making sure people know like the appropriate right-of-ways on the trail so that we can all, so that multi-use is a harmonious multi-use. And building and riding trails. Just this last weekend, we opened a 1.1-mile stretch of trail called Missing Links, and that was a collaboration with the city of Sandpoint and a lot of POP volunteers that helped to build that trail, in addition to Integrated Trail Labs and Loop Mountain Construction. So, you know, opening that trail and just seeing a lot of people get out from all over the Inland Northwest to ride this new stretch and high-five each other on the way and just be excited about being out is a pretty exciting part of the job. So, yeah, overarchingly, though, like I said, building community through trails and kind of whatever form that takes for the user or for the trail, we'd like to keep it broad to make it more inclusive.
Just not head over heels exciting. Or head over handlebars.
Just not, no, head, yes, exactly, head over heel. Well, you know, it just depends on the day, for me at least.
Marcy, tell us about the Kinnexu Land Trust.
Well, Kinnexu Land Trust has been an organization in existence for over 20 years now. And in that time, we have, with the help of many wonderful community members who care about conservation, we've been able to conserve over 6,000 acres of land. And our mission is caring for the lands and people of the Kinnexu region today, tomorrow, and forever. And really what that means to us is finding conservation solutions to community problems and community challenges. And so that's what we do. A lot of our work involves of course, at the core of our work is helping landowners who wish to put their land into conservation to protect it for future generations. And so we help landowners who wish to do that. But we also do a lot of education work. We are in the schools. We're working with kids to help them connect to the land, which has really been proven to have tremendous academic benefits as well as health benefits for kids and families. And then we do a lot of, just partnerships. So it's really what we're all about is just making connections with community partners and thinking about how we can keep this special place the special place that it is. So our work is primarily here in North Idaho. We're in Bonner and Boundary County and also Sanders County, Montana. But some people will say, oh, but you just closed a big easement in at Pritchard Creek. And
yes,
so,
exciting.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
So thank you. That's a huge, huge win for Idaho Forest Group, for us, for the Trout Unlimited, and for the whole, for all of us. It's just an incredible agreement that was just closed.
How exciting. Julie, hard to top, but we're going to have you batting wrap up all day.
That's right. Well, of course, Idaho Trails Association is all about trails, and the mission is pretty simple. It is keeping Idaho's hiking trails open for users that can be bikers, hikers, horsemen, hunters, all kinds of people. And the history is interesting in that a very small group of people outside of McCall in 2010 were concerned about where were their favorite trails going. They were disappearing because without regular maintenance, this is what happens to trails. And once they're lost, they are lost. The Forest Service is tasked with this work. However, their staffing issues and budgeting issues make it difficult for them to keep up. So over the last 10 years, this great group of Idaho Trails has moved from just a small group doing a project here and there to what is now, in 2023, we'll have 24 statistics pretty soon. Last year, 721 volunteers, 74 projects, 293 miles of trail have been cleared. And there are a lot more stats. I won't bother with them. But Idaho Trails also focuses on education, stewardship, leave no trace philosophy. We advocate and we protect. We work to conserve and maintain the trails, keeping them open. And another nice little side note for Idaho Trails folks that decide to volunteer is that you'll learn some traditional skills, the safe use of hand tools out in the wilderness, crosscut saws, Pulaski. It's fun. And the final thing is, it's great. We have social groups that meet, they stay together, they sign up for trips together in the future, and you really derive a sense of satisfaction after looking back and seeing what you've just done with the trail, making it usable again.
Yeah, such a great way to celebrate trails. And really, it's a wonderful testament to our community that is such a small size and yet can support such four large missions and do it in a wonderfully complementary way. These organizations aren't in competition as much as they help really build community together. That said, here's one day when everyone's going to be scrambling to get volunteers out, I think. It's too bad we can't time things in like four-hour blocks throughout the day. Or maybe we have, I don't know. But let's dive into some specifics. Interesting you mentioned the tomorrow, the future. Today's theme, this theme for this year's National Public Lands Day is Together for Tomorrow. And I think that's a great way to focus how we look at passing on the legacy of our public lands to our kids and grandkids. And so we'll start again with Rose and tell us what the Friends are doing to celebrate National Public Lands Day.
Yeah, we always do a trail project on National Public Lands Day. This year, it's on the Morris Creek Trail, which is off the Lightning Creek drainage just outside of Clark Fork. If you haven't driven up the Lightning Creek Road, even if it's just to take a drive, I highly recommend it. And after the trail work, our trails coordinator, Kip, is going to be throwing a little party at the trailhead for those volunteers. We'll have a crosscut saw competition and a little barbecue. I'm sure she'll play music, and it should be a pretty good time. We still have some spots open if you're looking for something to do. That is something you have to sign up for, as spots are limited. You can find the sign up on our website or our Facebook. So it's September 28th, Morris Creek Trail Project is the words you'll be looking for online.
Thank you, Rose. Emily.
Well, I am in a great position of getting to choose what I want to participate in. So a lot of the tread work that we are doing at Ponderay Peddlers for our trail maintenance is weather dependent. So right now we're waiting for more moisture to come in before we can do a lot of trail work. So since I don't have a crystal ball to be able to predict that, I can't tell you what we'll be doing on the 28th. So now I'm going to listen really intently to my partners here in-house to figure out where I'm going to send our POP volunteers to contribute to some of these other causes that are going on.
I think we'll get back to what else is remaining for the season, because the celebration of the day really can continue all month in spirit, at least.
Absolutely. So, yes, it's not. Yeah. Every day is National Public Lands Day. Yeah.
Except you don't get free access to Glacier every day.
Oh, that's true. Yep.
Marcy, tell us what's going on for KLT.
Sure. We're offering free access to Pine Street Woods on Public Lands Day. Actually, we have this super cool new platform on our website we've just had for a couple of months, and it's just a calendar that we have on there under the community tab on our website, kinixu.org. And on there, you can look through any day, any week, any month, and see what volunteer opportunities we currently have. At the moment, our September opportunities have passed, so we don't have anything scheduled yet. That's not to say that there won't be something that comes up. So definitely keep checking back on that. I know that we tend to have lots of fun projects up at the Sled Hill property, and which is kind of a cool thing to get to go up there and just check it out and be one of the first people to go and roam around up there on the hill and help out there. So yeah, keep an eye on kinixu.org and go to the community tab to find opportunities.
Excellent. Very good. Julie.
Yes. So for September 28th, National Public Lands Day, Idaho Trails Association has four projects. Three are around the state in Boise. One is in Gospel Hump. And there is one scheduled for our region for the Panhandle. And if you go to Idaho, the three words, idahotrailsassociation.org, there's a tab that you can click and it will bring up projects. Now, this one is called East Fork of Boulder Creek, and it's a one-day project. The last day I looked, which was a few days ago, it was showing as full. However, as we get closer to these days, things can change. People drop off, they sign up. And so if you're interested in joining us for that one day and learning a little bit about what it is like to be an Idaho Trails Association volunteer, I would encourage you to go on the site, go ahead and sign up, whether it's full or not. We have a wait list. And it will often happen that you'll be able to get on the project. So I encourage you to do that. And that's it. IdahoTrailsAssociation.org. You'll learn a lot and see all the rest of the projects we've done this year.
And we do have listeners sometimes streaming in from Boise and other parts of the state. So
this is true.
Great,
good
great
point,
to
Phil.
Acknowledge those projects not taking place just here. I think that's a good opportunity here before we look at other things going on this fall with each organization. We're going to take a short song break. Listen to a little Walkin' Jim Stoltz. If you're just tuning in, this is KRFY, listener-supported community radio for North Idaho, 88.5 FM. And this morning, we're talking National Public Lands with representatives from the Friends of Scotchman Peaks, the Pondere Peddlers, Kinnexu Land Trust, and Idaho Trails Association. Don't go anywhere. Stay right here, and we'll hear more after the song. Walkin' Jim Stoltz, The Long Trails. The best trails are long trails, but any trail that leads you someplace interesting is also a good option. And we have lots of trails in the area, and we're here to celebrate the trails and the wide open spaces that are the national public lands we have, and locally, the regional and state and private lands we have that are open to the public. So we're going to delve now, aside from the things going on September 28th, each organization here today has a lot of other things. If you've just tuned in, we're hearing from folks from the Friends of Scotchman Peaks Wilderness, the Pondere Peddlers, Kinnexu Land Trust, and Idaho Trails Association. And we'll continue with our clockwise rotation. You're not in the room, but if you could imagine, the first person up is Rose Olson. Tell us what else is happening with the Friends this fall.
Sure. Our calendar, summer feels like it ended, and our calendar didn't skip a beat. We've still got all kinds of stuff going on through October. This Sunday, we have a free guided hike up the South Fork of Ross Creek Cedars. This is a really cool trail, and especially this time of year because the summer traffic is gone and the trail goes through the 2015 fire. So you get to see some really cool forest regeneration up close on your way to a waterfall. Again, sign up for that hike. That's this Sunday. And next Saturday, are we on the 28th, also Montana Eagle Experience? I'm looking at Phil because he knows. So Marcy said earlier the KLT is all about collaboration, and this is actually an event that we're partnering with Kinnexu Land Trust for in the Cabinet View property. It's called Montana Eagle Experience, and that is another really cool thing that you could sign up for. I don't know much about it, but you'll get to see eagles.
It's our national bird.
It's our national bird on national public lands.
Despite Ben Franklin pushing for the turkey.
I mean, the turkey's good too. Yeah. And what else? Our annual end of season hike up Scotchman Peak on October 6th is already full. As Julie said, though, we do have a wait list. So even though it says it's full, you could sign up for that anyway. And our executive director, Phil Huff, who is wearing a different hat this morning, he leads that hike. It's really cool. Phil knows all kinds of history about the area. That's a really neat hike to sign up for. Again, October 6th, it traditionally bookends the end of our calendar, but we have another late season opportunity on the full moon, October 16th. Led by a volunteer, Jamie Lee, and that's an overnight backpacking opportunity up Star Peak, which on the full moon, that'll be a stunning hike. Again, you can find all of these events on our website, scotchmanpeaks.org, under the Hiking and Events tab.
Shoo.
Yeah.
All right, my turn next. What's Pop have going on?
What's Pop?
Pop is popping, especially now that kids are back in school, fall sports are kicking off. So we have our youth mountain bike camps that have started this week. Rose, I'm looking at Rose because she's the coach with those. They're going amazing, better than ever. Rose is nodding in agreement to better than ever.
I wasn't there yesterday, but yesterday, she wasn't there yesterday. Was the first day. Yeah.
Okay, yesterday was the first day it kicked off. Yeah, we have youth programming that kicks off, so these parents will be trying to keep up with their kids someday, and we have two weekly rides a week. We have Tuesday night group ride, all genders, and those details can be found on our social media platforms, which is Ponderay Peddlers on Instagram and Facebook. And then on Wednesday, we have a women's ride, which is, of course, women's specific. And again, those details can be found on our website. For example, like tonight is going out of Switchback 2 at Schweitzer, and they're riding up to do the new trail called Missing Links. So those are some things that are happening. We also are chewing around the idea of a Poptoberfest and some other film festival coming up. But some stuff that's kind of in the crock pot right now. But I would encourage members, just kind of as I'm transitioning to this role, one thing I really like to do as a leader is like delegate, but also find people who are excited about doing things themselves. And if there's like a group ride you really want to lead to Red Top or something like that, like please reach out. My email is emily@ponderaypeddlers.org. And, you know, this is a community organization, so we want the community's involvement as much as possible. So if you have an idea or something you want to beta test, by all means, reach out.
Thank you. It sounds like a lot. There's always things evolving. So and we frequently, I should say, longtime listeners will know this, have shows where each organization comes back and talks a little bit about special events coming up, or if there's an anniversary or a film festival, we highlight those. And so Emily being newly back, that's an extended invitation to come on the air sometime to
go through
anything upcoming.
As things, my husband teases me because I just am like this flight of ideas of constant, like I like wake up at like 3 a.m. I'm like, honey, what about? And he's like, oh my God. So
are your bedroom walls filled with pasta?
Yes, exactly. Just waiting to see what sticks. Yeah. So there's lots of ideas, and as things are kind of rising to the surface, I'll circle back with you guys.
Marcy.
Yeah. So we are, we still, it's fall, but event season is still on. One thing I definitely want to mention is that we recently closed on another partnership that we're super excited about, you know, talking about community, having conservation solutions to community problems. That is a tongue twister, in case you didn't know. And one of those is of course, the housing crisis that we're all facing. And, you know, how could there possibly be a conservation solution to that? But there is. And so we're looking at the community land trust model, where a land trust holds the land in trust, and then the homes are built on the land and people can purchase their own home. And so we actually just closed on our first project in Priest River. And that there's some interesting dynamics taking place there, where we're going to be passing the torch on that project. But we're doing a groundbreaking on that project on the 24th. And you're all welcome to come, and the public's welcome to come. And we'll have some refreshments there. It'll just be a really special kind of historical moment, because it's the first project of its kind in our area in North Idaho. So that's really exciting. That's on the 24th. We have our fall lineup of Kiniksu Folk School classes. And if you haven't yet taken a Kiniksu Folk School class, you guys, they're just amazing. Such a wonderful, warm, small group setting where you can learn a traditional skill with your people, you know, and it's such an amazing thing. We do have, for instance, coming up on Saturday is one of our fireside dances, and where Lindsay Hoyer comes and she instructs on various dance styles. Kids are welcome to come to that. And so if you go to kiniksu.org, go to the Kiniksu Folk School tab, you can see our full fall lineup of classes. And I'm absolutely certain there's something there that you will want to take. There's something literally for everyone. Also, on National Trails Day, we will actually be busy. We'll be having our booth at the Winter Ridge Community mm-hmm. Fair. And again, if you're not volunteering, which I totally encourage you to volunteer for one of our partner events here, but if you're not, show up at the fair, come talk to us, and we'll tell you about the trails and some of the other initiatives that Kinnexu Land Trust is involved in.
Oh, so many things going on. Julie.
Yes, Phil.
What else is happening this fall for ITA?
You know, there are still a few things happening with Idaho Trails, and it does come to a screeching halt around October 1st. So I'll mention a few September projects that folks might want to think about. Most are scattered around the state. So if you are able to and would want to check out a new area of wilderness, for example, the Gospel Hump Wilderness, I would suggest that you go ahead and go on to idahotrailsassociation.org and look at these. And they've got photos and they will describe the level of difficulty. So I wanted to point out earlier that you don't have to be in perfect top condition to work with us. You can come as you are. We have easy jobs for people. We have hard jobs for people if you really like to work hard. But the few projects that we have left are on September 21, we've got Wind River Signage. That takes place in Gospel Hump Wilderness. On the 27th, we have Crassel Creek Workstation. That's a two-dayer. That one is at Crassel, which I'm not sure where that is. Maybe you know, Phil. Mentioned that we have the four projects on the 28th, Yurt Trails, Hennessy Veterans. That's a veterans project. That's two-day. We also have a one-day in Dry Creek, Upper Dry Creek Trailhead, and that is in the Boise foothills. Then I mentioned our East Fork Boulder Creek, which is full, but as I said, you can do waiting list. And then also on the 28th is Gibson Jack. That's a funny name, isn't it? Gibson Jack Trailhead. That's in Caribou Targhee National Forest. So you can be all over the state, Phil.
Or pick a place, go anywhere.
That's right. That's right.
Well, we have such a great opportunity here to really explore the resources that we have in this community for things that aren't event-driven. But let's say there's an individual new to the area, and we often get new listeners or listeners who are new to the area who want to know more about what they can do, where they can go, how they can do that. And so I think this would be a grand opportunity to share resources, our collective wisdom, if you will. And again, as always, we're going to start with Rose. Tell us a little bit more about the resources that the friends have for helping to get people out on their own.
Yeah, so I dropped our website earlier, but it's scotchmanpeaks.org, and we've got all kinds of helpful tabs. There's one that's hiking and events. There's one that says volunteer. There's also one that says maps and trail descriptions. That would be a great place to start if you are a not someone who wants to sign up for a group hike or a group project. We've got plenty of maps and trail descriptions on our website, and a lot of the trails in the Scotchman's, they're the kind of trail that you do want to read up on the trail description. They're not just like a go and figure it out. You do need to be prepared a little bit. So do look at the maps, bring a map with you, read the trail description. Like I said, that's on our website, scotchmanpeaks.org. Pretty easy to find. We also are on Facebook and Instagram, as everyone is. Our handle is just Scotchman Peaks. And if you feel like replying or sending a message to either of those platforms, I will be the one who's writing back to you. So please do. I love when people write to me. It's
ask
pretty
the
fun.
Difficult questions.
Yeah, ask me a question.
Rose.
Where should I go? How many goats were on the trail last weekend?
What's your favorite trail?
What's my favorite trail?
What's your favorite
my
trail?
My favorite trail.
It's not a trick question.
It felt like a trick question. In the Scotchman's, I'm going to have to say Little Spar Lake. That is just stunning, and that's over on the Montana side of the border.
Good recovery.
Yeah, thank you. Threw me for a loop there.
Wasn't on the script.
No, it wasn't. I'm going free script now. Our website, Facebook, Instagram. Like I said, if you message any of those platforms, it'll be me who replies. So please don't hesitate to reach out with questions. I'm happy to fill you in.
Emily, tell us, I know Pop has lots of tools to get folks out.
Well,
We sure do. Please, like Rose said, slide into the DMs. That's me you'll get to talk with, and that'll brighten my day. I'm glad you asked me about my favorite trails. I will also tell
I was going to ask you about your least favorite trail.
Oh, my least. Oh, God. I have, you know, but biking is one of those things where, like, sometimes your least favorite trail. Like, I ended up taking my bike for a walk one time around 12 miles up Trail 120.
That sounds like fun.
That type of type 2 fun, that makes it memorable for a whole nother reason. And I mentioned Trail 120 because we do have projects hoping to go back and kind of restore those trails to their once biking glory. So maybe that was my least favorite trail, but one that made it the most memorable. My favorite trails in VTT would be Good Grief and up Schweitzer, and the Upper Basin would certainly be like the Narnia to Pop Point. And this Missing Links trail that I've brought up a few times cannot be beat. To get involved with Ponderay Peddlers, by all means, go on our website. It's ponderaypeddlers.org. There you'll have opportunities to learn more about the biking trails that we have, the multi-use trails. You can sign up to become a member. Obviously, you don't have to be a member to participate in biking around here, but we'll hope that you do join as a member because that supports the vital work we do to improve and maintain the access that we have to all this amazing outdoor space. And you can also just, you don't have to donate as a member. You can just donate because you want to support the trails and the work that Ponderay Peddlers is doing. So I would encourage you to do that. And like I said previously, if you want to find us on Instagram or Facebook, it's at Ponderay Peddlers. And
Ponderay spelled the French way.
Yes, the French way. Thank you. Which I still have to look up sometimes. Like I said, 2 weeks into this job and
still a couple variations out
there. There are. Oh my gosh. I know. I have to spell it out loud every time I'm writing my email address to pendoriel.org.
I will channel my inner Tom Dabrowski and remind folks, Trail 120 by many locals is known as the Alpine Way.
The Alpine Way.
It used to be a national recreation trail, and then it lost that status when the access at the Clark Fork end was no longer valid because of easement problems.
Yeah.
But now that it's been restored by a new access off of East Fork Creek Road, it ought to return to national rec status, which is a challenging thing to do these days.
But I'm finding a new project for us. I know. Where's the question about spring projects coming up on here?
We'll talk more. We'll talk offline, as they say. Marcy, tell us about general resources for getting folks out and maybe a favorite place.
Okay. Definitely a big part of what Kinixie Land Trust is all about is just getting outside, making those connections with the land. So please, everyone, get outside, no matter the weather. It's so good for you and it's wonderful. And there are a lot of opportunities to do that. Like we talked about earlier this morning, we live in a place where there are so many wonderful opportunities to get outside. Kinixie Land Trust does have several public access properties. And if you go to our website again, kinixie.org, you can go to the recreation tab and find the public access properties tab there and look up our various options. One of the most popular places in town is Pine Street Woods and soon to be the Sled Hill property where we will be having more trails up there that will connect. It'll be kind of the greater Pine Street Woods. Pine Street Woods is somewhat of a labyrinth of trails, but you're talking to a person who walks into a room and can't find her way out, which, Phil, you'll have to help me back to the door today. And I find that I don't get lost at Pine Street Woods, and it was specifically designed that way for people who are maybe not as comfortable going up into the wild. It's close to town, and the trails everything is centered around a meadow, so you can always really see where you're at, and the trails are labeled with little icons instead of trail names, and so for me, a person whose brain works that way, I find it really enjoyable. I never feel nervous up there. And there are always, you know, plenty of people up there, but it also never feels crowded to me. And it's wild and yet tame enough where you don't feel scared being up there if you're not experienced being in the woods. So it's really a place for absolutely anyone. There are some fairly accessible trails up there. There's narrow trails and wide trails. And so it's just such a great place. My favorite trail up there, it depends on the day, but my favorite trail up there would probably be Owl, just because I love the ups and downs of it. And I'm not a mountain biker myself, but what I love to do is make my hands into little handlebars. And when I go up, like, what do you call those things where there's the side where you kind of go
berms?
Yeah. So I go vroom, vroom, and I run up those and run down them. And so I just love everything about the trails up there. Sometimes I only have 20 minutes for a lunch break, but because it's so close, I can just pop up there and do a quick trail and come back in time to. And it's inspiring too. That's the other thing I love, is I come back to work and I have all these wonderful ideas now, and I have a fresh mind to get to work. And so, but that's not the only one. There's so many more. So definitely check out the website. And one other thing I just want to bring out that I know all of you are on, but we have, all of us together have put together an app on WhatsApp, and you can find out about trail conditions, or if there's been a mountain lion sighting up at Pine Street Woods, or if there's, not just Pine Street Woods, but the entire Syringa Trail area. You can find out, like, is it really muddy? Is there a trail closure? Or is there a super spectacular view right now? It's a really great community, but it's also just a nice place to get updates. And so we encourage you to jump on that app, and you can get that from, again, the recreation tab on kinixu.org.
Oh, thank you. It's a great resource. And what a special place. You're the one going vroom, vroom.
I'm going vroom, vroom. Yeah, I do. So if you hear that, it's probably, I mean, there's no motors up there. It's just me.
So you have to be going fast enough you don't fall over on the bank.
Sometimes I fall. I have fallen, and I'll tell you that story another day.
We'll save that for a future show. But Julie, I know ITA has tons of resources. Tell us about what's available in terms of introducing new people to the outdoors, and then a favorite project.
Yes, Phil, we absolutely do have many resources through Idaho Trails Association. And if you, once again, go to the website, idahotrailsassociation.org, you'll find a page that says about Idaho Trails. And on that, we have resources such as, Trail Tracker, where you can find out about trails folks have walked, what they've run into. We have another one that's about previous projects that have now opened up trails. You can read the reports and understand if that might be a trail you would like to walk. And we have resources for veterans who might like to join a project, for women if they prefer a women-only trip. It's just full of great little bits of information that can get you on a trail that's at your skill level, or get you on a project that might really open your horizons and you'll learn a bunch. Phil, you asked me what one of my most favorite trail work projects has been, and there are so many, because this organization has trips that go from 3 weeks where you're flown into a remote wilderness to week-longs that are fully supported, where there's a camp cook and your gear is hauled in, to one-day trips that you just drive up, get a bunch of work done, see your friends, have lunch, go home. But one that I think about that I've really enjoyed was last summer, and it was a women-only weekend on Chimney Rock, and I'm sure many of you know where that location is. And I think that was an opportunity for some real camaraderie, for women to learn trail skills, trail clearing skills, working with tools they may have never worked with, and just to get to know other like-minded women who want to volunteer and feel that sense of satisfaction for having done something cool.
Yeah, I think that's a really cool thing that ITA does, and listeners will probably recognize we have four women in the studio today, and I think there's a real power in the community that's emerging and is taking over almost. So congratulations. Although I do feel semi-frightened.
Yeah.
Literally cornered. Again, the listeners can't see this, but I'm the farthest away from the door that Marcy is guarding.
He's been putting his hand out for me the whole time. Stay away from the control board, Julie.
I do think you're speaking to something really important, though. And when I look at, like, women as stewards and collaborators in the community, I don't think any of us feel threatened by the other work that the others are doing. Like, I look around and I'm like, oh, I got to talk to them about this. We could partner up for that. And I think that is, like, this beautiful synthesis that exists in this community, and what allows for, like, such a small community by relative standards to have such a big impact when it comes to its public lands, because we do all work together and collaborate. So girl power. Yeah.
Well said.
That's a great way to end the show as we're going out. A quick round of final thoughts. And, of course, we'll give the last to Julie, starting with Rose.
This is not related to anything we talked about, but I'm firmly waffling on picking out what color my roof steel should be for the house we're building. And I'm leaning burgundy, but forest green is still a hot contender.
That's a tough one.
What does Google Earth pick up best or worst?
Yeah, true.
Please.
That's fascinating. I am just over here. I have three small kids, as I mentioned, a two-month-old, a 6-year-old, and a 3-year-old. And I used to think it was like so hard to get my kids out the door. And I am just really struck by, as soon as I get them outdoors, like how much cooler my kids are to be around. Like I obviously get outdoors myself, and that's where I find like my mental health and where I can breathe again. And I get the endorphins I need to not like flip out at somebody during the day. But I'm like just watching my kids with this kind of like anecdotal level of research being like, gosh, they're a lot cooler when they can just run around out here and play in the dirt. And I don't know where that thread goes, but I'm just really inspired by the space that we have and by like what happens for them on kind of this more like soul level when they're outside, and kind of connecting that to what happens for me and all my friends when we're outside.
All right, Marcy.
Well, Julie, you were talking about the Gospel Hump and the Wind River area, and I actually was just down in that region not long ago. I hiked that trail last year, which was, you know, in the winter, freezing cold, and then you get up on the hill and we're taking layers off. You know, it was absolutely gorgeous. And I just really will always appreciate and reflect what an incredible state we live in and the diversity of the topography, the climate. We have everything here, and I just am so grateful to be here, and I want to make sure that I spend every minute just being outside. And I just encourage other people to do that too. Don't sit in your house, get outside.
It's a great final thought.
It is great. Well, Julie from Idaho Trails, I guess I would just have to, first of all, agree and love everything that the other gals have commented on, but I'll bring it back to National Public Lands Day. Folks, maybe make a plan for the 28th, and whether it's one of the events that we've suggested or something you do on your own, get yourself out and do something on that day and get a start if you haven't already. I am planning on being fishing on the Clark Fork that day. So I won't be on a project, but I will be enjoying National Public Lands. Thanks, everybody.
Always a great day to get outside. Julie, I wanted to end with you in part because I think you brought a poem, a special reading for us. If you do, I'll give you a second to cue it up.
And, yes, I do.
Just remind listeners, if they're tuning in right now, they can listen to the interview in its entirety in podcast form later on this week at krfy.org.
Well, all right, I've got it, and I'm sure most of the ladies here have read this one, and if not, you should have by now. It's a great one by Mary Oliver. I think it's her most famous poem, and I do think it's appropriate for today, so here goes. You do not have to be good. You do not have to walk on your knees for 100 miles through the desert repenting. You only have to let the soft animal of your body love what it loves. Tell me about despair, yours, and I will tell you mine. Meanwhile, the world goes on. Meanwhile, the sun and the clear pebbles of the rain are moving across the landscapes, over the prairies and the deep trees, the mountains and the rivers. Meanwhile, the wild geese, high in the clean blue air, are heading home again. Whoever you are, no matter how lonely, the world offers itself to your imagination, calls to you like the wild geese, harsh and exciting, over and over announcing your place in the family of things.
What a lovely thought. Thank you, Julie. And I want to thank all of our guests for coming in this morning and spending a little time with us, and our listeners for tuning in. Rose Olson, Deputy Executive Director from the Friends of Scotchman Peaks Wilderness. Emily Strizich, I think I got that right.
Did.
New Executive Director from the Pondre Peddlers. Marcy Timlin, communications director, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kinnexu Land Trust and Julie Gadabout, lead volunteer, board member, Idaho Trails Association. Thank you all for coming in. Again, I'm your host, Phil Huff. This is KRFY 88.5 FM, listener-supported community radio for North Idaho. Tune in every Tuesday. In fact, every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursdays for the morning show. I think we about ran out of time for current events, so we're going to go out with a little bit of Michael Martin Murphy.